Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord,
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the elders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again. And he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is 99. Diane will read by half verse. The Lord is king, let the people tremble.
He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is high above all peoples.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome.
He is the Holy One.
Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name.
They called upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud.
They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord, our God, you answered them indeed.
You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord, our God, and worship him upon his holy hill.
For the Lord, our God, is the Holy One.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord, as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Love that hymn. There's something in the gospel today that I've overlooked or underappreciated in prior readings. It has to do with pronouns and nouns, particularly plurals and singulars. Boy, does that sound like the prelude to a dry and arcane sermon, but bear with me. After looking at the gospel in that light, nouns, pronouns, singular, plural, I then looked back at the reading from Exodus, and that reinforced my observation. So I'll start with Exodus. In this scene, which is clearly a prefiguring of our Lord's transfiguration, Moses goes up the mountain alone. His encounter with God in the guise of the burning bush is solitary. He comes down from Mount Sinai, glowing face veiled, as Paul points out in today's reading. And then he tells the gathered crowd of his revelatory experience. It's beautiful, wonderful. By the way, when Paul writes of the veil, it reminds me of an experience I sometimes have in my dreams. It's as if there's a veil separating me from what's going on in the dream. I don't mean this metaphorically, but literally, the scene appears to be dimmed as if by an intervening curtain or veil. This has been so pronounced that on at least a couple of occasions, I've tried in the dream to open my eyes wider, only to find myself awake in my bed. I think Paul is saying something similar, that Christ has lifted that veil for us, allowing us to experience God's presence more directly, for us to be fully awake to the divine. Well, back to Moses in Genesis. Whereas Moses climbs the mountain by himself, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John. We learn this in the opening words of today's gospel. That's, of course, in contrast to Moses' solitary experience. In this account of Jesus' transfiguration, references to persons, plural, are about equal in number to those of Jesus in the singular. This time around, I found that to be stunning. More about that in a moment. Another difference between the two experiences is that Jesus' radiant figure, all of him, radiant face, shining clothing, is witnessed fully by those present. No dimming of the light by veil or any other means. The persons, plural, includes not only Peter, James, and John, but also Moses and Elijah. This is a further elaboration of the incarnation itself, at least as I see it this time around. Jesus, God incarnate, is a human among humans. Even in this event, which emphasizes his divinity, other human beings are included. Both his contemporaries, the three who ascended the mountain with him, and his forebears, heroes of the faith who had gone before him. Of course, Moses and Elijah represent other episodes of divine revelation in other ways, but they also represent humanity as a whole and Jesus Christ's connection with the whole of humanity, past, present, and future, in some mystical way. As we all know, this is the last Sunday after the Epiphany, making it the last Sunday before Lent. Next Sunday, we'll read of another dramatic event in Jesus' life, long before the events in today's gospel, his being driven into the wilderness alone, to be tempted by Satan alone. That event takes place in isolation, another real contrast to today's gospel. Of course, we know that sometimes Jesus withdrew to places of solitude to pray by himself. So solitude can be a place and time of testing, isolated from the influences in support of other people, but it can also be a necessary condition for reflection and prayer to replenish stores of spiritual resources. But in between those where most of life is lived, both Jesus and ours, is in the company of other people. This is part, I believe, of the importance of the incarnation, God's apparent desire to know us from the inside out, experiencing the world as one of us. An important aside here. I've carefully said humans, human beings, and persons in my descriptions, even though we're aware that all the figures in the scenes described here are male. However, we must remember that the incarnation could not have taken place in the first place without the faithful and willing cooperation of Mary, Jesus' mother, and that the church simply could not have grown and flourished through these 21 centuries without the early and constant ministry of women who filled the pages of Scripture and who finally are receiving full recognition and leadership roles in the church's unfolding history. So, Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah, and most especially Jesus, represent these women, largely unnamed, as well as the men whose names are known to us. So, on this day, that is the hinge between the season of Epiphany, brightly burning revelations of God in the world, and Lent, season of penitence, we have this scene in which we are represented not only by Jesus himself, but also by the friends he had brought along with him and the towering figures from the past who whom God had supplied in a vision. On this day, then, we celebrate our great and loving God who speaks to us through each other, especially in those transformative and revelatory moments signified by the events such as those in today's gospel. May we all grow by God's grace as receivers and sharers of God's glory, making us windows through whom the grace of God shines. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Almighty, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Kay, Jeff, and Hector, our bishops, for Michael, our priest, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God in his church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation, Justin, Van, Carol, Emily, Jim, Ann, John, Jordan, RG, Greg, Karen, Sarah, Alan, Carol, Janet, Maureen, Jill, David, John, Degagare family, Margaret and family, and for all on the long-term prayer list prayed for daily by the Daughters of the King, and for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Brian, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. And we pray for those who are traveling, Otis and Jane. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy
is great. I invite your prayers of petition at this time. Especially we pray for the people of Ukraine. Others you may wish to remember.
Mark Albertson.
Or Terry.
Jack Giampo Carl.
I want to add prayers for the people of Russia who are also suffering.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, especially for the birthdays this week of Cynthia Horn, Morgan Wright, and Lindsay Gray.
I invite your own prayers of thanksgiving at this time also.
We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Rocco Sanford, John Crutchfield, Dr. Lewis Leatherman, Dr. Hudson Glimp, Lawrence Homer, Robert Allison, Megan Gillip, and all who have died from the coronavirus, that they may have peace in your eternal kingdom. We pray also for those who mourn their passing.
Again, I invite your prayer. For those who have died in Ukraine in these days.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
Mm-hmm. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace. And guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your dominion may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, guide the nations of the world into the way of justice and truth. And establish among them that peace which is the fruit of righteousness, that they may become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray to you also, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now I'll wait a moment for you to unmute yourselves.
Don't speak up loud. It's okay.
I hear enough murmuring to let me know that that's happening. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace to the Lord, everybody.
Love you.
Peace be with you.
Love to all.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
There's the dove. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you. And remain with you always.
Amen.
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 Oh gosh.
That hymn should serve as a strong reminder that that's it for Alleluias for the next 6 weeks during Lent. So we loaded up on them in the front end. Also, for those who hadn't noticed, Carol and Jim were not the lay readers for today, but Diane Hayes and Sherry Musgrove, and we thank them for that. Now, right. Let us bless the Lord.
Thank you, God.